Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Pardon me, Lord. To give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and the understanding, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, His word. And Father, we're asking all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We got a short chapter this morning. We only got 16 verses in this chapter. We started through the book of 1 Corinthians, or the epistle of 1 Corinthians. And like I said, we're in chapter 2, and there are 16 verses. So I'm not going to be holding you over time this morning. But we'll have a little longer one this evening. All right. Verse 1 says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, they come to know. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually disconcerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward and bring to you and I the message that God would have each of us to hear this morning. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. And once again, amen. All right. We all know that our lives should be lived in a way that everyone that sees us can see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And know that we are the children of Almighty God. We should not have to tell them that. But they ought to be able to look and know that the spirit they're seeing is not us. Because you see, when we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have put away our life, and we brought him in to live our lives through us. We know that he needs mankind, because he went back to heaven and now he works through us to get his work done and to finish the work that he actually started while he was here on this earth. Now he finished what the Lord the Father had given him to do, but the work wasn't done yet. Because you see, his business is the rectifying you and I and all back to God. We don't see much of that going on today, do we? Because man is not listening to the word of Almighty God. We're not praising him as we should. We're not giving him thanks for what he's done. And you know, we can't stop with just thanking our Father, because he's more involved than that. And that's what we don't seem to realize. Now, we're told to pray to the Father, yes. We're to pray to him in the name of Jesus. But we're to give all praise. We're to praise the Father for the work he does with us. And we're to praise the Lord Jesus Christ for the work he has already done for us. And we are to praise the Holy Spirit for the work that he is doing with you and I every day of our lives and every moment if we are a born-again child of the living God. Because he also is living in you and I. He come to make his home with us, to give us the power, to give us knowledge, to give us wisdom, to use that knowledge, and to walk according to the way and the work that the Father has lined out for each of us to do. And we all have a work, as you've heard me preach many times. And I'll continue preaching it because we forget so much. And so much we don't even think about. We're not to sit still, but we're to always be on the move. Always sharing God's word with others. Wherever we come in contact with them. And we will, if we are a born-again child of God, we'll do that. Because that is where our joy and all come from. Comes from the sharing of his word. And seeing others make a change in their life and move and grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father. That's the fruit we're supposed to be bearing and bringing unto our Father, just as Jesus did. Now, we can't give the growth, but we give the word, and we do what we can. But only God can give us the growth. We back up here now to verse 1. I'm going to take 1 and 2. And I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is a testimony, this chapter. But it's not of Paul. This is God's testimony of himself as he gives it to Paul by the Holy Spirit. You see, this is why we are told, and actually told in this chapter, that those that don't belong to God cannot understand this word. That's why we need men that are called of God out here teaching his word to bring others in and get them into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and get them filled with the Holy Spirit so they can receive that knowledge and understand God's word so that they can make life here on this earth living to the point that they can know that they have got heaven made their home throughout eternity. A lot of them will say, no, you can't know that. Yes, but you can. We are told you can. In fact, we're told in several different places that we can know. In fact, we're told also in the Word of God that if we don't know, we don't have it. You see, we accept that by faith. And we can know whether we have truly accepted it or not. A lot of them out there don't. But you know, Paul wasn't using that speech of philosophy and stuff that way. He was coming to them with strictly the word of God and using what the Holy Spirit was giving him. He wasn't using all them pretty words, pretty speeches. And as my Bible calls it, ornaments of speech, which a lot today are doing. That's what they're doing. They're using philosophy, pretty words, higher education words and preaching of Christ they don't even believe in. Because they did, they wouldn't be preaching some of the things they're preaching today. They would stay in God's word and preach it as it is, not what they want to make it. Now here in 3 he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Well, we know why Paul walked in weakness and in fear, don't we? Because Paul wasn't a good man until he met the Lord Jesus Christ there on the road to Damascus. And he had been chosen. He was chosen for a work that he was not used to. And we can imagine how he felt. I know I can. Because I know that I was not worthy to be called. I know that. But, you know, the Lord chooses the weak things of this earth to confound the strong. The only thing that we are not to walk in that is listed here, that Paul says he has, is that fear. Because we know that Paul finally outgrowed that, spiritually wise, because he wasn't afraid to give his life for the gospel. And there's coming a day and time to where you and I, if we are still here, we'll have to be willing to do the same thing in order to preach this word out of the Bible will mean imprisonment and death. And it's not as far off as we would love to believe. That's why we all need to look and be looking for the Lord coming for the church and be ready to go with him then. We need to be actually looking forward to going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But most aren't. We all know that. Most are walking in fear out here. Now, and when it comes down to that, drawing that last breath, they'll be in greater fear even. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of our. And this is what we have got to get to yet here in this church. Now, yes, we speak in the Spirit because all of us that teach here speak by the Spirit, as the Spirit gives to us. But we're missing a little power, the power of the Spirit. And we need to be bringing that forward and bringing it into the forefront so that mankind can see it. And then we'll see things grow and we'll see things change here in our county. Now, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He's bringing things out straight here, the Lord is. And Paul's giving it to us just like it's given to him. And therefore, we're going to keep it that way. That our wisdom, our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. It don't matter what mankind says, but it is what God says. And it's His power that should be motivating our lives. Now, here in verse 6, he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." You know, how many times in our lifetime have we heard, "There's none perfect"? No, not one. Only one was ever perfect, and that was Jesus. Yet we're told in His word to be perfect as He is perfect. Is He telling you to do something you can't do? No. And He's telling you right here that those that are the children of Almighty God has reached a spiritual perfection. Now, because you see that word perfect actually refers to, and it means, to be morally and spiritually mature. In other words, you've grown to the point that you are spiritually and morally mature, and that you are standing against sin. You're not letting sin into your life. It doesn't mean that sin won't come against you, because it will. Satan's going to see to that. And he knows what your weakness is, what my weakness, and everyone else that's on the line today listening to us, or that will download this and listen to it. He knows every one of our weaknesses. And that's where He's going to hit you. So that's what we have to strengthen. It's to strengthen those weaknesses. That's why we need to be spending more time in God's Word and in prayer with the Father, till we can grow to the point to be able to stand where the Lord our God wants us to stand. Now, he goes on here in 6, he says, "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to know." We're not to be wise in the ways of this world out here. Nothing in knowing what we can and should do and what we cannot and should not be doing. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." And this mystery is this gospel that we are preaching. All through the years, from the creation of mankind until the Lord Jesus Christ, this gospel wasn't with us, nor was it with mankind. Now, "8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Well, we can be thankful that they didn't know it. You and I can. Because look what God had prepared for us because of that. And He's the one that sent Him here to be crucified. He sent Him here for that purpose, so that we could have a way of walking as the Lord Jesus Christ walked. and to do the things he was doing. And when we cannot do those things, we need to be finding out why. And the only way we can find that out is through him and by the study of the word and the communication with our Father in heaven, in prayer with him. And we need to be spending a lot of time with both, a lot more than what we do now. And we need to be looking at ourselves to see what is missing and what we still need so that we can grow to the point that we can do those things that Jesus was doing. Because we're told, he said, all that believe in me, these things I do, they will do, and greater than these will they do. Well, we don't know how much greater things he's talking about. But we're not seeing anything he done happen today much. A little bit here and there, but it's very little. And yet, it was to be put into all churches. That's why we need to keep praying for this church here. Now, 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. No, we don't know everything. He has given us some ideas, and he's given us a few things that he has prepared for us, but we don't know everything he's done for us, that's for sure. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, this is why we need the Holy Spirit. Yes, I know today a whole lot more than I knew when I first began walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Although I had been forgiven of my sins and all, still a lot of things I did not know, and a lot of things I had been taught wrong that had to be gotten rid of, that to my way of thinking at the time was right because that's what I had been taught. And I was raised in a church. And yet, as the Spirit worked with me and as God worked with me, the Father began his teaching and letting me see things according to his will and his way instead of man and man's way. And it really changed my life. And it's still changing. I'm still growing. Every day I'm learning something different and something stronger and feeling things that I've never felt before. 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, that's why we need the Spirit, because that Spirit is searching the deep things of Almighty God. And that's where we get our strength from. That's where we get our knowledge from. It is brought to you and I by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He shares those things with us and especially as we study His Word. We take His Word, and if we pray and ask God through the revelation of His Word, and then as we open this Holy Bible and we go to reading, the Spirit begins speaking to us and revealing things that we hadn't thought about and bringing them to our minds. Now, and some of them are deep, that's for sure. Some of them are very deep. Some of them we don't understand for a while. It takes a little while for us to really get the understanding of some of the things that the Spirit will reveal to us. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You see, the only way we can know anything of God is through the Spirit of God. Until we have that Spirit, we cannot know the things of Almighty God. His Word is filled with scriptures that let us know that until we have that Holy Spirit, we're not going to have an understanding of God's Word. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We're not to have received the spirit of the things of the world out here. But we received that when we came into the world. That's what we had to get rid of. Now, we don't receive that again. We are to receive the things that God has given to us freely. Things that has made us free even. Free from the things of this world. Let you and I know that there's a lot of this world out here we don't need, that we thought we needed. But as we grow in the Spirit of God, we're finding there's a lot of things today. Back 20, 30 years back, I thought I couldn't live without. Now I have no use for it at all. Don't want it. Wouldn't have it now if they gave it to me, because it will only cause me trouble. Now, 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what we are to do, to compare the things of our lives spiritually. Compare it with the Spirit to see if our lives are walking according to the Spirit or if they're walking according to the things of this world around us. And for most, it's things of the world around them and not the things of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to be holding you too late this morning. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There, once again, we're being told that natural man, the man of this world out here, cannot understand the things of the Spirit and the things of this world. He just can't do it. He can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. For one, he looks at them as being foolish. And as we talk to people, we know just how widespread that is, foolishness unto him. And it says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The only one way you and I can know them, and that is when they are given to us by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Or you and I wouldn't understand it either. That's why we continue to grow day by day. Because we spend time with God in his word. We spend time with him in prayer. And we need to be spending time in listening to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we do that by the study of the word at the same time. Because he really talks to us through the word. 15. But he that is spiritual, judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. What do you mean? There's somebody out here judging me all the time, just like you. But you see, what that's talking about is what that man thinks of me and thinks of you don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing to me, what that man thinks of me. When he's thinking the wrong thing of me, he's hurting himself because he is passing the wrong judgment before God. And he will pay for it, for the things he's doing. But you and I, we judge things by the Spirit. It's not us as mere man doing that judgment, but it's using the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to make our judgments of things and to know when we see something going on that should not be going on. How did we get to know that? By the Spirit. We're not doing it ourselves. Give you an example. Back before I met the Lord in 1966, before he called me into the ministry, if I'd have been someplace where some woman come in showing more of herself than should have been shown, I'd have been for all looking and enjoying the sight. But afterwards, it was displeasing. It was despicable to me. And I let it be known that she needed to cover herself up. That's the change that comes about. Things you might approved of one way or looked at as being pleasurable or enjoyment no longer are. The things now you don't want to even see. They got a show on TV right now. That should never have ever been put on TV. and it's called temptation. It's men and women on an island. And the things they do. If I'm watching that channel, when it gets time for that to come on, I turn it. I'm not watching it. Because it's unclean. It's despicable. And it's an abomination unto the Lord our God. And I'm not going to watch it. But we got millions out there that are watching it every show. Now, we're going to be closing with this next verse. But he, 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. We don't know the mind of God so that we can instruct him. But we do have the mind of Christ, or we are supposed to have, according to his word. There in the 16th verse. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have that mind of Christ. Means that the Christian possesses the Lord's own understanding and his thoughts and opinions and judgments and plans of things that we see here on this earth so that we can avoid them. And we can stand against the things that are not right. And we are to know that things like that is given to you and I by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. There is no other way for us to get it than through the Spirit of Almighty God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together, Father, to share these things. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. We pray for them every day, Father, because they have very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, it's walked so far away, and without any excuse whatsoever, Father, and the things it's done to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, taking him out of every place he was in, doing away with his name, not even wanting his name used in prayer. Father, we pray for this nation. We pray, Father, that those that are standing against the church, against Lord Jesus Christ, against your people, be taken out of our office in our government and replaced for those that will stand and work with us to put Jesus back into the places he's been taken out of, to build your churches up and to build them strong. And Father, to put our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one, fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Terry Coates, James Taylor, myself, Father, these are all, Father, leaders of this church, this ministry. Father, keep us all walking on the pathway of righteousness. Fill us all, Father, to overflowing of the Holy Spirit. And use each and every one of us, Father, to share your word with others and to build this church. Now, Father, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Dennis Breeden, his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg. Work with them, Holy Spirit. Fulfill whatever need they have. Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg. Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church of Irvington. The Meade County Baptist Church, General Baptist Church. The pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie. That little full gospel church of God there in Akron. Father, these churches not only make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand, but make them a place of refuge, Father, to where the lost walking in darkness can come and get into the light, and that light being Jesus. And Father, for my three friends overseas, there in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron. Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs as they walk in places that means imprisonment and death if caught, Father. For the Johnson family, Father, I pray for that whole family, the children, the sons, the daughters, the nephews, the cousins, all, Father, may the Holy Spirit touch each and every one of them. Bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put them to work in the harvest field. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mondillo and her mother, for Sue and for David, for Palance, for Kelly Smith and his wife, Father, for Karen. These all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them, Father, with thy mighty hand. Bring about the healing that is needed. And Father, be with this church. Fill it, Father. Fill it to overflowing. Now, Father, use me in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up before man, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that sweet, precious name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. And God bless. All right, everyone, remember now, God willing, at 6 p.m., we can all come back together again and share in his word. So until then, have a great day. God bless. Bye-bye now.